That's what that airplane's all about.
It's not one of Boeing's, is it?
I don't know what it is. But hey, brother, I didn't know you could sing like that. That was really good. So good morning. How's everybody? How many came to hear from the Lord this morning? Say amen. All right. Hey, I got something for you this morning. I brought you a couple of little pamphlets back there on the table. Going out, pick them up in the service. This one's called Pride versus Brokenness. Pride versus Brokenness. Some contrast between these two things can be a help and a blessing to you. Good for you as a family to read through together. Also, want to invite you men and women to come to our prayer advances. We have the men's prayer advance next January. We have the ladies' prayer advance next March. The theme is More Than Conquerors. More Than Conquerors. How many ever heard that song, I'm Only a Sinner Saved by Grace? How many ever heard that song? Did you know that's not true? Did you know you are more than a sinner saved by grace? Did you know you are more than a conqueror? So the theme is going to be on the victorious Christian life. Ladies' prayer advance, men's prayer advance. We're meeting over here at Roanoke and Shenandoah Baptist Church. Here's the brochure. You have an interest in seeking the Lord, learning to develop your prayer life, then check this out. Let's stand and pray together. Could we do that? Let's just stand and have a moment of prayer together this morning. Just bow your heart if you would, and just give God permission to talk to your heart this morning. Just converse with the Lord for a moment. Give God permission to speak to your heart this morning. Now, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this good day that you've given us. And Father, we pray your blessing upon Pastor Joey as he's away, that you would encourage and strengthen and revive and refresh his spirit. Now, Father, for those of us here, we pray that you would refresh and revive our spirits as well. We commit this service to you. We anticipate blessing because we ask in Jesus' name. All God's people say it. You can be seated. I attended a funeral last week, and I participated in a funeral of a friend of mine, and the other pastor got up and said this. He said, the day you were born, everybody was smiling, but you were crying. On the day you were born, everybody else was smiling, but you were crying. And then he went on to say, live your life so that on the day that you die, everybody else will be crying, but you'll be smiling. So I want to talk to you this morning about your assignment, your appointment, and your assessment. Every person on planet Earth has an assignment. Every person on Earth has an appointment. Every person on Earth will undergo an assessment. Now let me talk to you along these three lines. Number one, the assignment. You were created by your Creator. You are not the product of time and chance. You are not the result of evolution. That'd be a good place for an amen right there. You were created with an assignment. And every person will be remembered for one of two things. You're going to be remembered for the problems you caused or the problems you solved. And I want to say to you this morning that you were put here with a purpose. You were put on planet Earth to solve a problem. Carpenters solve building problems. Plumbers solve plumbing problems. How many know it's expensive to solve a plumbing problem? I want to tell you something. Doctors solve medical problems. How many know it's even more expensive to solve a medical problem? Lawyers solve legal problems. Mothers solve emotional problems. Fathers solve leadership problems. Pastors solve sheep problems. You see, your assignment is always to a person or a group of people. And I want to tell you something. Every person has an assignment by God. Your assignment is not to show up on Sunday morning and put in your time. You have an assignment from Almighty God. It's always to a person or a group of people. Remember what God said to Jeremiah? God said, before you were born, I knew you in the womb. And he said, I have set you as a prophet over the nations. That was his assignment. God said, Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13, he said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. That was their assignment. Now, just like Jeremiah had an assignment, just like Saul and Barnabas had an assignment, you and I have an assignment from God. Now, let me say this. You don't decide your assignment. You discover your assignment. You don't determine your assignment. You discern your assignment, and it's your responsibility to discover, discern your assignment. Now, your assignment is specific. You're not assigned to everybody. You know, the fact of the matter is, not even Jesus did well everywhere. He didn't go over everywhere. You know why? Because your assignment is specific. Your assignment is unique. Your assignment is geographical. Now, you say, well, what do you mean your assignment? Well, I'm talking about your purpose, your mission in life. Now, let me ask you this. What makes you laugh? What makes you? You can discern your assignment. There are clues to discern your assignment. But what makes you laugh? What makes you cry? What makes you angry? What do you love to talk about? What do you love to hear about? If everybody on planet Earth made $10 an hour, what would you do? And if Bernie Sanders has his way, everybody will be making $5 an hour. Amen? But anyhow, we won't get into, forgive me for diverting off on that point right there. Let's get right back to it right here. That the fact of the matter is, if you could do anything in the world you wanted to do, what would you do? That is your assignment. It's your burden. It's the thing that motivates you and drives you. And I want to say that you have to discover your assignment. I know what my assignment is. My assignment is to the hungry hearted. I don't have a message to the casual hearted. I don't have a message for the Budweiser Baptist. I just don't. That's not my assignment. My assignment is to the hungry hearted, the revival hearted, and the broken hearted. And wherever I find hungry hearted people, revival hearted people, and broken hearted people, brother, I make a connection because that's my assignment. But you have an assignment as well. And I want to say this, that we all have an assignment to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So there's the assignment. And if everybody's going to be smiling or crying, and you're going to be smiling on the day of your death, brother, you have to fulfill your assignment. Number two, you have an appointment. Now look in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 in your Bible. Just a quick verse here this morning. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Notice the word of God. It says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Read that out loud. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Everybody read it out loud. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this. Y'all are sorry readers. Did you know that? Y'all are about the sorriest reading kind. I want you to read whatever translation you got. Read it out loud. And all right, we're having reading lessons tonight here at Goodview Baptist Church. Be back here at 7 o'clock. Now look, you have an appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die. Death is one appointment you're going to keep. You might be late for other appointments, but buddy, you ain't going to be late for this one. It's appointed on demand once to die. Somebody said that death is the most democratic institution on the planet. So far, the ratio is one death per person. I'm just here to tell you that worldwide, 131 million people were born last year. 53 million people died last year. A childhood friend of mine that helped me and ministered to me and mentored to me as a teenager, we had his funeral last week. I buried 4 preacher buddies of mine last year. 53 million people died last year, but 6,300 people die every hour. I want to tell you that death is the ultimate fact of life. It's the ultimate fact of life. It's almost like if you listen to television preaching, you never hear a sermon on hell. You hardly ever hear a sermon on eternity. It's all about your best life now. And I'm here to tell you can have your best life now, but buddy, you better be focused on your best life for eternity. Death is not a mystery. It's a certainty. It's appointed unto man once to die. Now, physical death is when the soul is separated from the body. But spiritual death is when the soul is separated from God for all eternity.
You know,
heaven is where saved people are united with God forever. Think about that. Heaven. Heaven's looking better all the time. Amen. I'll tell you what. Can you imagine a place? Can you imagine a place where there's no sin? Can you imagine a place where there's no temptation? Can you conceive of a place where there's no suffering? Can you conceive of a place where there's no cancer treatment centers of America? Can you conceive of a place where lawyers are not needed? Doctors don't have office hours. Can you conceive of a place where death is no more? Can you conceive of a place where there's rejoicing around the throne of God and there's worship of the Lamb in the midst of the throne? I'm telling you, heaven is where saved people are united with God forever. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have a friend this week. Her mother died, a friend of mine, Dan Carfrey, professor up at Appalachian Bible College, and his wife has been terribly, terribly ill, but she graduated. I think it was on Sunday night she graduated, and we went to the viewing, and you know, I hate funerals. I mean, I hate grief. I hate suffering. I just don't like it, but we walked by there, and I said to the husband of the woman who had passed on, I said, you know, she's doing really good right now. We ain't doing so hot, but she's doing good. When my mother died, people tried to encourage me. How many know that people have a hard time knowing how to encourage other people? And they came up, well, she's better off. And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, she's better off, but I'm not. But the truth is, she is better off. Now, every exit is an entrance. Every exit is an entrance. When a Christian leaves earth, he enters heaven. When an unsaved person leaves earth, they enter hell. And hell has no exits. Heaven is where saved people are united with God forever. Hell is where unsaved people are separated from God forever. Over 7 billion people on planet earth. That's staggering. Over 7 billion people. And I want to tell you, we all have an appointment. We all have an assignment. But number 3, we'll all undergo an assessment. We're all going to undergo an assessment. The text says it's appointed unto man once, just once, to die. But after this, the judgment. Now, have you noticed that we're living in a time when accountability is out the window? Have you noticed that criminals are not held accountable? Have you noticed this? The government might not hold people accountable. Churches might not hold members accountable. Parents might not hold children accountable. But God holds us all accountable. There's a day of reckoning coming. Now, if you've been ripped off and you've sought justice and you can't find it, relax and hang on, because vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. There's a day of accountability. There's a day of reckoning coming. Now, the Bible says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, notice, the judgment seat is not an Awana program where it's only badges and ribbons and trophies. It's a judgment seat. We're not going to be judged on our works for salvation, but we will be judged on our works in our stewardship with what we've done, with what we were given. Now, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone might receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil. Do you find that frightening? If every idle word will be given, taken into account on the day of judgment. I mean, just think about this for a second. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Daniel Webster said, "The most sobering thought I have ever had is that of my personal accountability to God." Here's the man who wrote the Webster's Dictionary. "The most sobering thought I have ever had is that of my personal accountability to God." Now, as humans, we're accountable to our Creator. We're accountable. There's an account we must give. We're accountable for the life we live. We're accountable for the stewardship. We're accountable for what we've done with what we've received. We're all accountable for what we do with the Son of God. Remember old Pilate said, what shall I do with this man which is called the Christ? And the question is, what are you going to do with this man who is called the Christ? Now, there's an assessment. Now, death is not the end. It's the beginning of eternity. I remember my cousin's funeral. She died of cancer in her 40s with two teenage children. And my uncle was standing there, and I was standing with him, and he commented, and he said, she looks so good. You know, they fixed her all up and everything. She looked so good. And I said to my uncle, I said, she's not there. She's not there. And you know what my cousin said before she died? I became her pastor, more or less. And you know what she said? She said, Harold, I'm thankful I got cancer. I said, really? I said, how come? She said, if I hadn't got cancer, she said, I never would have gotten saved. And I'll tell you what, she took off and she left a testimony. Now, death is not the end, it's the beginning. Bob Jones Sr. said, the wise man will always prepare for the inevitable. The wise man will prepare for the inevitable. Now, look, you had no choice in your birth. You had no choice in your birth. But I'm here to tell you, you must choose to be born again. Listen to me. Jesus paid a price he didn't owe to settle a debt we could not pay. And the truth is, we are sinners by birth. We are sinners by practice. And worst of all, we're sinners by choice. And I want to tell you, because of that fact of sin, that awful fact of sin, our brother, we have to choose to be born again, and it's dependent upon what we do with God's Son. But there's an assessment. There's an appointment. There's an assignment. But listen to this. There's an alignment. There needs to be an alignment. Now, three undeniable facts, three irrefutable facts is you have an assignment. You have an assignment. Second, you have an appointment. Third, you will undergo an assessment. But I want to tell you, this fourth one is optional. It's our responsibility to go for alignment. We got to get aligned to God. Now, let me say again, you don't decide your assignment. You discover your assignment. Now, a lot of you folks are retired. I can tell by your hair color. Amen? And you know something? When you're retired, you have a reassignment. When you have a career change, it's a reassignment. As you come to seasons in life, and by the way, about every 10 years, you enter a new season in life. You know what that means? More things play out, and every 10 years, something else plays out on you, gives out on you. And the fact of the matter is that we have to align ourselves with the plan of God for the season of life that we're in. Now, you will choose to discover your assignment, or you won't. You're either going to choose to discover your assignment, or you're not going to do it. Number two, you will choose to lay up treasures in heaven, or you won't. This is optional. The first three are irrefutable, but this is on you. You know, we started a Facebook account about, 3 or 4 years ago, and we put up encouraging quotes every day. Would you believe this morning when I got up, there was 7.3 million views. 7.3 million views in the last 4 weeks. Now, I want to say something to you. I didn't start out with 7 million views. I started out with one view. I started out with two views. I started out with 10 shares. We have one post this morning, 50,000 shares, over 50,000 shares. Now, what I'm telling you is this. That's the composite result of posting encouraging, inspirational post every day. And here's what I want to tell you something. You and I have opportunity every day to make an investment in eternity. We can lay up treasure in heaven one day at a time. And I want to encourage you. If a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name gets a reward, praise God, I can at least give out some cold water. You know what one guy said? He said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life encouraging people. Boy, I like that. I'm going to spend the rest of my life encouraging people. And every day you get up, you ought to ask God, Lord, who would you have me encourage today? Lord, who would you have me encourage today? Lord, how would you have me encourage? A text, a call, a gift, a visit, a prayer. And I want to tell you something. If you'll sow into people's lives every day of your life, when that accounting day comes, brother, you're going to have a truckload of rewards. Now, the Bible says that even a cup of cold water, boy, that'd be pretty good when it's 95 degrees and humidity is about the same. Amen. That'd be pretty good. You know what I told them at the prayer advance? I said, hey, we're giving everybody that comes a bottle of water. A bottle of water. And I thought, hey, man. If a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name gets a reward, that's 1,000 rewards right off. I said, if we give them two bottles of water, that's 2,000 rewards. What I'm trying to tell you is things add up on you. And you know what you do every day as a habit will have a cumulative effect. And brother, the way you lay up treasure in heaven is by one deed at a time, one prayer at a time, one encouragement at a time, one blessing at a time, one visit, one witness at a time. Now, listen, you will choose to prepare for your appointment or you won't. Now, look in verse 28, what it says right here. It says, for Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. Now, I have an announcement. You were not foreordained to hell. Did you hear what I just said? I don't care what the Presbyterians say. You were not foreordained to hell because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The provision has been made, but the alignment is up to us. Now, God's provision is his son. And the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He that knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, let me give you a prophecy concerning the Son of God from Isaiah chapter 53. Listen to this. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know what this means? Jesus absorbed our sins. He that knew no sin became sin. He became what we were, so that we could become like he is, righteous. He suffered in our place. He bore our punishment for our sin in his own body while he was on the tree. He took our sin that we might take his righteousness. He took our blame that we might have his forgiveness. The gospel is Jesus died for you. I heard Jerry Falwell say one time, he said, if you were the only person on planet Earth, God loves you so much that he would have sent his son to die on the cross for you. I think that's a powerful love right there, that Christ has died for our sins. Salvation is not the result of baptism. Salvation is not the consequence of living an upstanding life. Salvation is not the consequence of works of righteousness that we have done to merit favor from God. No, salvation is the result of faith in the finished work of Christ. For by grace you are saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. but we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You're not saved by good works. You're saved unto good works. And that's where your assignment comes in. And I'm going to tell you the most important thing you can do this morning is to align yourself to the Savior for your appointment. Align yourself to the Savior for the assessment. And align yourself to your assignment. You have a specific assignment. A pile of you are going to be working in this vacation Bible school, I'm sure, this week. Well, that's your assignment for this week. And I'm telling you, we have an assignment every week of our lives. And this alignment is a voluntary thing. Look, you have an assignment, whether you find it or not. You have an appointment, whether you prepare or not. You will undergo an assessment, whether you're ready or not. But the fact of the matter is, we have a choice in the alignment part, and we can do what we can do. Now, let me say to you, on Calvary, there were three crosses. On Calvary, there were three crosses. On that first cross, there was a man who died in sin. He was the unrepentant thief. Remember how he was mocking and cursing even as he hung on the cross beside the Savior? On that first cross, there was a man that died in sin. He was an unrepentant sinner. On the second cross, there was a man that died from sin. He was a criminal being punished for his crimes. He was the one that said, "Remember me when you get into paradise." And Jesus said, "Today you'll remember me. You will be with me in paradise." There was a man that died from sin on that second cross. But on that third cross, there was a man that died for sin. He was the God-man. And he's absorbed our sins. He took our punishment. He absorbed our liabilities on that third cross. And I want to tell you, that third cross has got everything to do with your assignment, everything to do with your appointment, and everything to do with your assessment. You say, "Well, how does a person become a Christian? How does a person get born again?" I was in New York City 2 weeks ago, and we're there at Times Square Church, 120-some nationalities. Hallelujah. This is a very white congregation here this morning because that's what the neighborhood looks like. But in New York City, that church looked exactly like the neighborhood. You know, the man got up and he preached the gospel, and then he said, "How many of you here need to be born again? How many of you here need God's forgiveness?" There was no heads bowed and no eyes closed, none of that. "How many of you here need to be saved?" Hands went up all over the place. He said, "All right, stand to your feet. If you want to be saved, come on down here right now, and we're going to pray." And about 40 or 50 people piled out of their seats next to the Dave Letterman Theater. Thank God for grace, amen? And right there on Broadway, brother, and pile right down to the front and receive the Lord. Now you say, "Well, how does a person get saved? How does a person become a Christian?" Well, number one, you got to perceive the truth. You have to comprehend the truth. You have to understand the truth that Christ died in your place. You know, when I was a teenager, I didn't know what a gospel tract was. But at the Tasty Freeze near my home, I went to the restroom, and on the back of the water closet, there was a gospel tract. And you know what one of those tracts said? It said that God loves you so much that it hurt. It said Jesus loved you so much that it hurt. And a picture of a nail-pierced hand. I thought, man, this is incredible. You've got to perceive the truth that Christ died in your place. But number two, you've got to believe the truth. You've got to believe the truth that the blood of Jesus takes away the sin of the world, including yours. You got to perceive that. You got to understand that, but you got to believe that. But let me tell you something. The devils believe that, but they're not saved. And that's why number three, to become a Christian, you got to receive the truth. It's not enough to perceive. It's not enough to believe. You got to receive Christ as your Savior. It says in John that as many as received Christ, that then gave you power to become the sons of God. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And I'm telling you, as a teenager, 15 years old, I went to a liberal church. We never heard the gospel. You know what we did? They called on all the young people to get confirmed. You know what that means? they're going to throw some water on your head and you're going to say some words, and that's how you become a Christian. A hogwash. I'm here to tell you, brother, you better have more than a confirmation or some church identification. Brother, you got to be born again, and the way you get born again is by perceiving the truth, by believing the truth, and by receiving Christ as an act of your will, and receiving him as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, I'm telling you that you have an assignment. I have an assignment. You have an assignment. We all have an assignment. Somebody texted me this week, and I told him to give regards to a certain person. And you know what he said? He said, well, I will if I see him, but he's one of the important people. That's what he said. He's one of the important people. I texted him back and I said, you are an important person. And can I tell you something? You are important to God. Can I tell you something? That preachers are not special to God. Everybody's special to God, and your assignment is just as important as anybody else's assignment. And I'm telling you, you have an assignment. You have a purpose. You have a mission. Number two, we all have an appointment. We all have an appointment. We don't know when it's coming. That's why you got to be ready right now, because we don't know when it's coming. We have an appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die, but then we have an assessment. After this, the judgment. There's going to come a day of judgment. And I'm telling you, you can make preparation here this morning to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by aligning yourself with God's purpose, God's Son, and God's salvation. I wonder if we could stand quietly with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want us to pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in this auditorium that, Lord, they would pursue and seek to know their assignment. Lord, I pray for every person here this morning that they would make preparation for their appointment with death, because it's appointed unto man once to die. And Father, I pray for myself and every person here in this auditorium this morning that, God, you would enable us by your strength and grace and an act of our will to actively pursue to prepare for our assessment, our time before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people. Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many here this morning, how many here in this auditorium this morning need to align yourself with your assignment? You need to align yourself. You need to discover it and apply yourself to your personal assignment. Talk to God about it now. How many here need to make preparation for your appointment? Your appointment. When you draw your last breath, when your spirit leaves your body, when your soul goes out into eternity. How many here this morning need to make preparation for the appointment called death? You say, how do I do it? Perceive the truth. Believe the truth. Receive the truth. Perhaps this morning you're not prepared to meet your Creator. This morning, would you pray this prayer, something like this in your heart to the Lord? If you're lost and you know it, you want to be saved, pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I confess I have sinned. I have broken your law. I have transgressed your commandment. But I believe that Christ died for me, and I believe that he shed his blood for me. And right now, I personally choose to receive Jesus as my substitute, my sacrifice, and my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many here this morning with an uplifted hand would say, Brother Harold, I just prayed that prayer this morning because I want to prepare for this ultimate appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and I want to be prepared. And Brother Harold, this morning I trusted, I called on the Lord, and I prayed to receive him. Put your hand up way high this morning if you trusted the Lord. Anybody here this morning pray that prayer? God bless you. Anybody else? I prayed that prayer. God bless you. Anybody else pray that prayer? Anybody else? Praise the Lord. All right, we got a couple of people right here that's bringing some joy into heaven this morning. And dear men, let me just encourage you. Let me encourage you. Don't be shy about this. You need to tell people about this. And when Pastor Joey gets back, I want you to go up to him and say, Pastor, just want to let you know that I prayed and trusted Jesus as my Savior in your absence, and he will rejoice as well. Now this morning, I want us to just have a little season of invitation time. I wonder if we have somebody that could play the piano, perhaps just as I am without one plea or something like that. If we have somebody that could do that, that would be wonderful. And we'll just spend a few moments this morning, applying the message. Now listen, what is your assignment? What is your assignment? Discover it and implement it. Number two, the appointment. Not only do you have an appointment, all your family members and neighbors and friends have an appointment with death as well. Let's pray about that. And then this assessment. Lord, I want my life to count. And Lord, when I die, I want people to be crying, but I want to be smiling. And I want you to just take a few moments and internalize and implement whatever God's saying to your heart here this morning. Altars are open this morning for those that would like to come and just get on your knees and talk to the Lord just for a moment this morning. You let God have his way in your heart. Father, this is your invitation. I pray that right now as we deal with you, seek you, pray to you, and act in obedience, that Father, great blessing would come to our lives, and Father, that we would be preparing for the ultimate assessment, the judgment seat of Christ. Just let God have his way.